The Voices of Search podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit iheareverything.com.
Bridge toll, California, customer service number.
Highway miles to the gallon, Ford Focus.
Thailand cave rescue operation.
What is Schema F?
Best wine bars in San Carlos, California.
Best Western hotels.
How old is Ronaldo?
What happened with Big Brother?
What's a good engagement?
How long before a wedding should I send out save the dates?
How many games are in the first series?
Use IMAP to check email on other email clients. Identify fonts from
where to find.
We were 4 years
Welcome to the Voices of Search podcast and I Hear Everything production. In this podcast, we'll share the news, knowledge, and strategies you need to navigate the ever-changing world of SEO. Ready to expedite your company's organic growth efforts? Sit back, relax, and get ready for your daily dose of search engine optimization wisdom. Here's today's host of the Voices of Search podcast, Jordan Cooney.
Hello, SEOs. My name is Jordan Cooney from Previsible, and this week, we're going to discuss mastering international and topical authority in SEO. Joining me is Tony Pataki, who is the Director of SEO and Marketing Performance at Procore Technologies, which provides cloud-based construction software to clients across the globe. Today, Tony and I are going to discuss successfully localizing international SEO content.
And this podcast is also sponsored by Ahrefs. What if I told you that you could monitor your website's SEO health, backlinks, and organic rankings at no costs? Sounds too good to be true? Well, it's not, because my friends at Ahrefs just launched Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs' new Webmaster Tools product quickly helps you improve your site's visibility by pointing solutions to over 100 technical issues that might be holding your search performance down. Plus, AWT monitors for backlinks so you'll know the most linked to pages and how those links are affecting your rankings. And AWT shares what keywords your website ranks for and compares how you stack up against competitors for key metrics like search volume, keyword difficulty, and traffic value. Look, monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools. And now, thanks to Ahrefs, that's not the case anymore, because AWT will help you monitor your SEO health, backlinks, and keywords for free. And no, it's not one of those 14-day free trial offers. It's a powerful site audit tool that will keep working for you for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's ahrefs.com/AWT.
Okay. Here's my conversation with Tony Pataki, the Director of SEO and Marketing Performance at Procore Technologies. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of this topic, I'd like to understand what you mean by localizing international SEO content. How should our listeners generally think about this topic?
Yeah, as a company grows globally, you know, all SEOs are thinking about, okay, well, now what's the best way of actually getting your content, not just to rank in different countries, but also perform well, right? And I think that there's like two parts of that. As SEO professionals, our goal is not just to generate traffic. Our goal is to generate the right type of traffic, but also making sure that that traffic has a good experience. So localizing content is not so much just getting the content ready or into the optimal space, but also localizing the full experience of depending on the different cultures and countries you're targeting.
Crazy. And when you think about this, you know, from a software perspective, this probably goes beyond just content planning, right? Like when we talk about content planning, it's like, you know, the data around keywords and topics and then selecting them and then getting them into a calendar and writing content. It's beyond that. It sounds like when you talk about experience, it's much, much deeper than that. And tell us more about what that really should entail and mean to our listeners.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they first kind of approach globalization or doing international SEO, like the first thing that they're going to be thinking of, like, I'm going to take this content, translate it, get it published, and then there, I'm done. And that's generally not the ideal way of going about it. There's a lot of pitfalls, especially in the long term with that type of things, but even in the short term. when looking at your content, especially if you have educational content, right? Because a lot of SaaS companies in general, you're going to have a lot of educational content where you're trying to help the users and guide them in their educational journey. So when it comes to localization, it's not so much just translating the words, right? Like if you're looking at US versus UK and changing the Z's to S's and O's to OU's and that kind of, it's making sure that the content is actually connecting with the user. And what I mean by this is that in, you know, let's just say, here's a quick example of the US, you write a content piece, and let's just say you're talking about OSHA, or you're talking about the US government, or you're giving examples of companies going through some struggles. It needs to be relevant to the audiences that you write for, otherwise they're gonna be turned off.
Because OSHA is only in the US, and those probably US-based companies, and you want examples that are gonna relate to the demographic that the language is being produced in for that content. So Tony, give me a little bit of background on how we should get this process started. Let's just assume that we have an English-based website that's been humming along from an SEO standpoint. We've got a functioning content plan in place. How do you get this localization effort going, and where do you start?
I love this question. And before going into it, I would invite the audience, like, take your domain, put it into your favorite SEO tool, especially if you have a lot of educational content, put into your favorite SEO tool and take a look at what other countries your content's ranking for. You'll be kind of blown away. You'll be surprised of like how much of your content is ranking at page one in the UK, perhaps Australia, definitely Canada. And I'll give you an idea of like, okay, well, my content's already ranking in these places. So to your question, where do you start? That's one of the things I do like to look at, because when it comes down to it is like, you have this content, you know, it's working with your audience here in the US. You want to start targeting content globally, and we're going to take UK now for example. You want to target content in the UK that you know that people there are looking for as well, right? So there's a keyword research aspect is there. So you already have content that's probably already ranking there. That's a good place to start. If you're on page one, now you can start taking that content and actually now localizing not just the content, but the experience to those users, because it's going to be different. You don't want to just put the same exact experience and content in different countries as you have in the US. It's amazing how different things are going from one country to another, especially when you're looking at Europe and then also going out into like Australia and just in the East as well. Things differ quite a lot. So target the keywords you're already doing quite well at. That would be the first step I would take in this process.
So as you identify these opportunities, right? Like one of the things that is dawning on me as we're talking about this is that like in order for this to be effective in different markets, you have to build the plumbing for this, right? I'm sure you're going to agree with this, Tony. Like the technical international SEO efforts is probably an entire episode, maybe like another 10 episodes, but just give us like the quick lay of the land. What do you have to have in place from a technical standpoint in order for any of these content topics to really be relevant, useful?
Right. Okay. So yeah, from a technical SEO perspective, I'll just quickly go through that in that, you know, of course you could do, I think the big question people will have of like, well, where should I have it on my site, right? You're going to need to separate it out because you want to separate out the experience as well for your UK audience, your German audience, your Australian or China, whatever countries you're going after. So you could either go, right, ccTLDs or subdirectory. Those are the two popular ones. Now, ccTLDs, you're kind of like starting over. You're managing multiple sites. I'm a big fan of doing the subdirectory method, but getting those ccTLDs across the world and redirecting them, yeah, you definitely want to do that. A lot of countries still search for, like if they're looking for broker, they'll put in .co.uk, or they're putting like, whatever your website is, they'll put in their country code at the end. So once you have things separated within your website, setting up, you know, you're planning for the href lang tag management. And that's the tricky part. That's the big, and that it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. Managing the technical SEO for international SEO is, especially when you start building a lot of content, when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of content, and then guess what? Someone redirects one thing or this one, and it's all mapped out. Now you have to redo all those hreflang tags. It gets messy real quick. So you need to think ahead of time, how are you going to manage all those URLs and all those hreflang tags? And once you have that technical SEO kind of like plan written down, the content calendar that you're going to be building is going to be a lot easier. You're going to start realizing like, oh, it makes sense to tackle these same topics at the same time because they're all going to be connected rather than having totally unique content calendars across the world, because it gets messy real fast.
That's great. I think one of the interesting things there about the technical piece is that it's not just like a one and done thing. Doesn't matter how small your website is. If you're going to do international effectively, you're building out the whole experience, starting with, you know, whether you're going to have country TLDs or directory to managing hreflang, but then even more universally, like what that experience needs to be in that market. And do you have all the experiences that you may have in your primary market, right? That's a tricky thing that requires management. But moving back into the content piece of this conversation, you know, Tony, you've had a lot of experience working in a variety of different places. So international isn't something that you did for the first time here at Procore. It is an expertise in how you manage SEO that you have to develop over time. I'm curious to get your perspective and your insights on how to think about the content investments for international, and specifically like whether it's in software where you're talking about like solution pages, product pages versus editorial and top of funnel pages, or maybe more in like a directory type site. Do you have to build a universal set of pages in terms of the experience, like where the funnel might be, like how a user might like sign up or how a user might purchase something, versus the informational pages that might attract a user to the page, right? Like, and those are like vastly different components of the websites, and they require their own set of thinking in terms of localization. And so I'm kind of interested to get your view on that and how you should organize your thoughts depending on the vertical your business might be in.
I love this question because I feel like each one of those things you just brought up could be its own podcast. Like, for example, how do you manage solution pages in it globally and that experience? And you know how I was saying, like, localizing the experience is so important. Actually, before I go off on a tangent, I want to answer your question more directly of like planning for when it comes to developing your global strategy is such a critical element of this, because there's a lot of things that you could run into later on that you didn't think about. So you need to think two steps, three steps ahead of when you're creating your content calendar, when you're creating your hreflang tag mapping, when you're creating your overall SEO strategy. And you also need to be thinking from, you know, like, let's just say you have ccTLDs. I didn't touch on this, but I'm going to touch on this right now. Let's just say you do have separate domains. And this is less of an issue today because of CDNs, but sometimes what happens is like when you have ccTLDs, they're on separate servers. You want to make sure that that server in that country outperforms any other country. So this is very common, especially with US, Canada, US, UK. US content, you might have a UK ccTLD and you have your hreflang tag set up and you're like, oh, I'm killing it. Then you start looking at the rankings, like, why is my US content outranking my UK content? There's a chance that the servers of your UK site is slower than the ones that are in the US. So if you have things on separate servers, you have to continue to think about those things and audit that to make sure that the server speeds and the experience is the best for that user so that your .com doesn't dominate. It happens all the time. I see it all the time. So that's one thing. From a technical standpoint, you got to really think ahead and you need to continually audit things. Now going into the content, where should we start first?
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our sponsor, Previsible. So you're looking for SEO help, and you got a couple of options. You could start replying to spam from agencies that claim they can get you to rank number one on Google. You can pay an hourly rate for a consultant who will inevitably nickel and dime you with hourly charges. Or you can work with a cookie cutter agency to quickly launch a strategy-less project with low success rate. None of those sound very good, now do they? Well, that's where Previsible's integrated consulting model comes in. Previsible draws from a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to unlock your organic growth opportunities. They build custom solutions that combine strategy, technical expertise, content, and reporting to effectively operationalize SEO for your business. Previsible's four-stage approach ensures that your SEO programs thrive by starting off with a strategy-first approach. Then they support you in your efforts to create quality content, help you identify technical issues, and most importantly, they'll work with your cross-functional teams to integrate your SEO strategies to make sure that your SEO budget actually drives results, not just your agency's bottom line. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, Square, all who rely on the SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's Previsible, previsible.io.
I'd love to know where your perspective is. And maybe we start like with software and then maybe work our way to other verticals. But it's I actually think this is the most daunting element as an SEO is like, where do you start and what's the best investment, right? Because the business might want to start with a certain area. The company might want to do something, but that might not actually do anything from an SEO standpoint. I'd love your perspective on that.
I like this. Let's just say we're entering a new country. I used to work for a cybersecurity firm and we were in like 47 different countries. And it was like, and they had separate CCTLDs. It was like, I was dropped into this situation. And I was like, okay, well, let's manage this. It's going to be tricky. And I would say that when you're kind of like moving into a new territory, I always like to start with bottom of the funnel, work your way up. It's easier to internal link that way as well. And also just like, you kind of have a better thought process of like what goes where and how, like what the overall site structure and hierarchy is like. So starting with your solution, product pages is going to be number one. Now, what we did there, what we did a lot there was we did a lot of usability testing. And that's why like localizing the experience is so important. So one, you get your content, you get the written content localized. Now, what does that mean? The ideal method is having a local writer, a local expert, take your content and turn it into the local content. Someone who is there, they know the culture and everything else. And I can't stress that enough. And then once you have the content down, you're not ready. You're not done. The next piece are the images. And people usually forget that one. And I want to share a story if that's all right.
Please. Yeah. Give us a story. Yeah.
It's not like two totally different worlds looking at. This is like US versus Europe, because we got this feedback from a few different countries. So we were doing a lot of usability testing. And I'm a big fan of getting SEO and usability testing. Yeah, get that connected. Because I can argue today that 99.9% of the SEO ranking factors are all directly related to UX, right? So we had this image. It was on the homepage. And it was, there's a woman sitting in the kitchen at a kitchen table. She had her laptop open. And, you know, in the background, you could see the kitchen. You can see the living room as well, like this like open concept thing. And the she had someone right behind her. It was like basically her husband who's like looking over her shoulder and like looking at the screen of what she's pointing at. Now in the US, this content did great. In Europe, not so great. And we're like, what's going on here? So we did usability tests. And if the audience is wondering, it's like, well, what could it be? Well, the image had an open concept kitchen. In Europe, people don't have open concept kitchens. Especially back then, everyone's got doors on their kitchens. They're like, it's open concept kitchen. So when I came here, I'm like, this doesn't relate to me. And those who haven't done international SEO, Europeans and a lot of different European countries are very risk averse when it comes to buying, especially when it comes to cybersecurity software,
sure,
right?
Sure, like, yeah, absolutely.
Perceived risk is super high. So buying effort is huge. So you're going to be, Europeans in general research a lot so they don't make a mistake. They don't want to take the risk. So it doesn't take too much to set someone off. Just like, you know, when you get like a text message or an email, like, hey, I have this big opportunity, and you find just one spelling mistake in it, you automatically think to yourself, this is a scam, right? Like, that's telltale sign. It doesn't take too much to get someone not to trust you. And same thing there, like in image, if it doesn't relate to me, I don't know you as a company. This is my first time seeing you. That's it. Our relationship is over. I'm going to the next person, right? So imagery is the next part.
It's 100% part of the journey. I mean, I remember a project we worked on where we were dealing with a European company moving into the US market, and everything was in meters. And they were planning on selling it as such in the US market. And I was like, the only way you're going to get away with this is if you actually tell Americans that this is comparable to a 10 by 10 foot product, because otherwise they're never going to know. Like, you know, nobody here is going to understand what this is.
That's exactly right. They're going to be going to Google, like, what is this meter thing in feet? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to buy, right? Like, I mean, it's an e-commerce business. You got to get the person to trust you, to your point. And I think that's a great place for us to ask my last question here, which is, in your experience and in your work around localization, translation, and developing out these experiences that are effective for SEO in new markets, what are the biggest factors? What are the most important ranking signals to creating that trust with consumers?
So the trust issue with the users, and we'll start there, the user engagement, and going back to what I was saying before of like SEOs, you're not responsible just for the traffic. You're also responsible for the overall quality of that traffic, but also the quality of the experience that they have, right? Because like, when you bring in traffic and no one converts, well, it didn't really help anything. So you really want to pay attention to like all those things of like, what is this consumer going through from entrance to the website, right? We pay attention to things like core web vitals, server speeds, and all these other things, and making sure things load fast, which is part of the experience. But the full experience from the very beginning to the very end is going to be important. And even things you might normally think of. So here's another thing. If I would ask your audience, especially those who do have presences in European countries, one thing I noticed, especially when I was in the cybersecurity space, is it's interesting to see how much more people in Europe look at your privacy policy and terms and condition pages. They really dig in, like, who is this company? Who are they? Like, can I trust them? So that's what I say, like, all parts of your site needs to be tip-top shape and really paid attention to, because I think a lot of companies out there do, it's like, set it and forget it. Here's privacy policy, terms and conditions, put it out there, boom, done, right? But even those parts need to be. But even like when you're looking at, so you have your content, let's just say you did a great job localizing it with someone who's on the ground there, boots on the ground there, who knows the culture, who's an expert in the subject, which is the ideal way of building that content. Images are all done. Perfect. Those are local images. Your team went out and made them. That's the ideal way of doing it. And you have the images that are right for you, right for your audience, really. That's what matters. Now, then you have to ask your question, the then what, right? Someone's there, where are they going to go next? And that's a huge part, I think. The next part that I think needs to be paid attention to, your CTAs can't be the same thing as you have in the US. It's fascinating how saying something like, get your ebook in the US versus get my ebook in a lot of places in South America, people connect with get my ebook rather than get your ebook, because it's like they connect with the wording and stuff like that around that. But also just understanding different cultures of, they have a different perception and they react differently for CTAs, where it's here we kind of like are more demanding with our CTAs. We're telling you exactly what to do. And that's not polite and not as receptive in some other countries. So you have to guide them to try our product rather than get our product, right? So it's those like small little changes that people need to pay attention to. And it does vary from country to country. I know I've been kind of like just saying Europe, but there's different countries will react to different things in a very different manner. It's quite amazing. Even within Europe, it's like, and it depends on your product as well. And that's the other thing. If your product has a high perceived risk, right? If it costs a lot, if it's something you have to subscribe to, if it's something with money, if it's something with cybersecurity, people are more likely to research a lot deeper into your site than if it was something like a $5, you know, product, whatever it might be. Low perceived risk, you're not going to be spending too much time. So it's important to really think about the next steps people take in that, and also understand that, for example, getting social proof marketing in some countries is going to be way more important than others, especially if you're a new country, right? If you're like a B2B company, we'll go back to cybersecurity, they want to see the social proof that's there, the companies you work with, it better be companies in that country. Because they're like, does my competitor here use you? Okay, now I can trust you. Like, that's like one step. And then other countries, like, they want to make sure they can talk to someone, right? Belgium, France, even Germany. They're like, they want to get in touch with someone, especially when it's like a high perceived risk item like cybersecurity. They want to, is there someone behind this website? Or, you know what I mean? Like, they want to build that trust. So the journey starts first touch to your website all the way until they buy. And you got to pay attention to each piece.
That's amazing. I think that's a great place for us to wrap up this episode of the Voice of Search podcast. A big thank you to Tony Pataki, Director of SEO and Marketing Performance at Procore Technologies, for joining us. In part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow, Tony and I are going to discuss the power of effective topical authority. If you can't wait until our next episode and would like to learn more about Tony, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes or visit his company's website, Procore.com.
Okay. Thanks to Jordan Cooney, the founder of Previsible. If you'd like to get in touch with Jordan, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter. His handle is JT Cooney. That's JTKOENE. Or you can visit his company's website, which is previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Previsible for sponsoring this podcast. If you're looking for support with all of your SEO needs, Previsible's integrated consulting model is there for you. They draw on a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to help you unlock your organic search and growth opportunities. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, and Square, all who rely on SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Ahrefs for sponsoring this podcast. Monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools, but that's not the case anymore thanks to Ahrefs, because they just launched their Ahrefs Webmaster Tools product, which monitors your SEO health, helps you keep track of your backlinks, and gives you the insight into what keywords are performing for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's Ahrefs, ahrefs.com/AWT. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to voicesofsearch.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even send us your topic suggestions or your marketing questions, which we'll answer live on our show. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is Voices of Search on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or you can contact me directly. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet, and you want a daily stream of SEO and content marketing insights in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day during the work week. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, remember, the answers are always in the data.